This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonsland. There are two kinds of angry people in this world, explosive and implosive. Explosive is the kind of individual you see screaming at a cashier for not taking their coupons. Implosive is the cashier who remains quiet all day and finally shoots everyone in the store. You're the cashier. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. Let Napa Auto Tech's Build a Tech program, you know, like Build-A-Bear, help you turn your general technician into a moneymaker for your shop. Make them a profitable member of your team. Go to napautotech.com for more details. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? Picoscope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit picoauto.com. That's PICOauto.com. To start out my video versions of the podcast, what you'll be seeing from now on, I kind of want to talk about no one starts out at 100. And that could be really vague. I could go on and talk about maybe nobody starts out as an expert, and that would be valid. But that's not where I'm going with this. No one starts out 100% angry. And the reason I bring this up is kind of a conversation I was having with my wife about me butting heads with our youngest son. I brought it up in a previous episode that he has diagnosed ADHD. And there's times where, probably more so in the past than recently, in say the last 2-3 months, maybe three, pushing three, I don't know that I handled it as well as I could have. I don't think I let a lot of the stuff I was looking into really permeate, or I don't know, that I bought into 100%, and not just bought into, like, I can rattle off the facts or rattle off the studies and quote studies and statistics, and not so much that, but also in my behavior. And oftentimes I'd be very frustrated or annoyed with his behaviors, the way he acted. And I could have handled it so much better. But a lot of times it went against what I thought is right or acceptable, or almost like, rather than gender roles, it's almost like age category rules. Like, you at this age should not act this way or treat somebody this way or whatever. And it wasn't really putting into practice stuff that I could tell somebody else. If somebody asked me for advice, I could rattle off all this information, but, you know, it's almost like do as I say, not as I do. Well, I had to start doing. There's a couple times where I get really, really frustrated and wig out, flip out. My wife kind of had enough, like, kind of put her foot down. And for the most part, she's right. Like, I could rattle off all this information. I just didn't do it. And namely with my own kid. Yeah, I had to kind of step up. And I think I mentioned it before in another episode. Awareness sometimes sucks. Like, it's great to have. I'm glad I have it. I don't have 100% awareness. I don't know if I ever will. Every day, right? Try to get a little bit more. The thing is when I would flip out or get really aggravated or annoyed with them, I guess really flip out, get very upset and meet his energy or try to exceed it. I didn't start out at that 100%. My needle wasn't pegged into anger or rage or whatever you want to call it, flip out mode. There had to be something else. It could have been triggered because of his behaviors and my beliefs and how I was choosing to process that stuff or choosing not to process it. Is it really that big a deal that he did this or didn't do that? And understanding that in many cases, it wasn't the kid, if that makes sense. It wasn't the individual making some of these choices. There's things outside of his control because he's young. And there's 20 somethings out there who don't have full control yet. And I think there's data to back up why they wouldn't. So why would I hold somebody half that age to a higher standard? So I have to buy into that. I did buy into that. I do buy into that. And it's changed the way I respond to him. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about when you're at that point where you're that upset. We'll just say, I guess if we're talking about like steps of anger, we'd be in a crisis, right? You are very upset, very angry, seeing red, raging, whatever term you want to apply to that. And this would probably be a great topic to bring Margaret and on to discuss further. But my point being, you don't just wake up at 100. You don't wake up raging. Most people don't. And why I think it's somewhat important to talk about is, one, interacting with people at work, coworkers, the mechanical specialist who is over there throwing wrenches and kicking stuff around and breaking things. Did they walk into the shop 100? If they did, now we know nothing at the shop really brought that about. There's something else going on. And now, can we approach that individual with curiosity, which brought up in a previous episode, right? Curiosity is often, genuine curiosity is really a powerful, powerful tool. So as leaders, as coworkers, engaging this individual with curiosity, and again, if somebody's raging and throwing stuff around, we do want to be aware of ours and others' safety. But we can validate somebody's feelings without validating or justifying their behavior. And we can get them out of that situation or environment and then start approaching with curiosity. Like, what's going on? Is there something else happening? And you find out maybe there's something at home. Maybe there's something at work that's very triggering, if we will. And I hate using that word to a degree because I think it gets used to the point of abuse. It's still technically the correct term to use. Is there something in the environment that, sure, they're not at 100. They don't go 0 to 100. They don't go 20 to 100. There's stages involved. But we can be triggered to really speed up that process and blast through the stages to that crisis mode. What is that? And we may not be the right people to try to diagnose that of others, but it's worth reflecting on ourselves if we've hit that point. And again, the processes go through the stages, and now we get to kind of a recovery stage where we reflect back. Well, I don't know if anyone's ever told me, or certainly not through schooling, as we talked about the stages of anger and then that focus on ourselves, or, you know, me focusing on myself to go, why did I do that? I might find a singular thing like, well, my belief in the behavior of a child was a major trigger. Sure, that could be true. Is that enough to go from 20 to 100 or 10 to 100? And that's not a smoking the bandit quote. That, what else is going on? Is there more going on? And there can be. Right? There can be certain beliefs. There can be certain PTSD or complex PTSD. There can be certain things that have you on edge in certain situations, or again, rough day at work, stuff's not going well at home, fears and anxieties and all that. So that's really easy to say when talking, you know, about coworkers or ourselves or family members.
NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, The AutoTech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary safety topics. Well, it's here. AutoTech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA AutoTech Training. Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The Picoscope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high-voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool. It's your future. Be the expert in EV repair. Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com. What about customers, right? It's not common, luckily. Luckily, at Riverside Automotive, it is very rare. I don't know if I can remember the last time. It's got to be over a year or more that we've actually had a client wig out. It was not handled the way it should have been. And I'm not being critical of those involved in the handling of it, because how often do we get trained on how to do so? And if there's training out there, how good is it? What's the frequency of it? What are they teaching you to do? In this case, that rage, that crisis from the client was met with defensiveness. No bueno. That was not a good situation. It just escalated from there. What if you recognize that when they walk through the door, they might have already been at a 50? It has nothing to do with the shop. And I'm not like excusing the shop of any contribution to it. But if in the back of your head, this client is kind of losing their stuff and starting to take it out on you or your advisors or your customer service rep or technicians, right? One of your people taking it out on you. What if in the back of your head, keep an awareness of there could be something else going on? It isn't just you. It isn't just the shop. It isn't just their car, the price. That could be very triggering for who knows what reasons. And that's where meeting it with some curiosity, also kind of demonstrating the energy level you would like them to have. So if they're very high energy, they're raging, trying to meet that with your own and trying to impart some authority over them or leverage because you have the car, they owe you money, or even just the position of authority with being the expert. What if you met that with a lower energy that they would then most likely start mirroring? And curiosity. What if you were genuinely curious about how they're feeling and validating those feelings while not validating their behavior, sympathizing, listening, active listening, and finding out, like, unbeknownst to you, their world's falling apart outside of that shop. All of a sudden, things take a drastic change in direction, right? I don't think we ever talk about that. I've yet to be in any sort of a class that addresses that type of situation. And I've never been, until my wife, Danielle, is talking about this, I don't remember anyone ever saying that to me. I don't remember ever thinking about things that way. Be it a coworker, be it a family member, be it myself, be it a client. And I think that's a really important thing to consider. People generally don't wake up wanting to, you know, tick somebody off. They generally don't go out wanting to lose their stuff in front of people, whether it's
professionals or coworkers or family members. And that, you know, when you meet up with somebody that is raging, and I guess I'm thinking specifically at the front counter or back by their vehicle, somehow, you know, engaging a client, if you can back down your energy level and maintain that coolness and calmness, understanding that it might not be you, it could be you or the shop or the situation. And that was the trigger, you know, where they're now scared of being taken advantage of. It's a trigger. And so now they're behaving this way. But if you can respond to that calmly, coolly, collectedly, and ask questions, actively listen, validate those feelings. Understand, I understand why you're scared. I can see why you would be scared. It is scary when we don't know. It is scary when you're not sure if you can trust somebody anymore or if you ever could. I think we all absolutely know what that feels like, whether it's from a professional or from an expert or a service provider, a doctor, you know, a family member, boyfriend, girlfriend, etc. I think we can all sympathize with that. Now we can meet that with, you know, validation. We can meet that with questions. And now things take a turn for the good, usually. And mind you, if it gets too out of control, you have to protect yourself and everybody else. You have to get out of the situation or get them out of the situation. But I just felt like this is a really interesting topic and thought, that when you're met with somebody that is triggered and now acting very much out of sorts, to really just keep it in the back of your mind. Consider that they probably didn't walk in at zero and boom, pinned it to 100. It could be. Maybe they've had a bad experience at your shop before and they're now reliving that. That's something we got to handle. Maybe it has very little to do with the shop, very little to do with whoever is interacting with them. But something happened that triggered it. Whatever that fear, distrust, whatnot. And if we're aware of that and consider that, there might be more to it than just the shop and the car and the repair experience, that it's easier to not get emotional ourselves and handle it much better and really handled the right way, you might gain one of the best customers ever. Or you might find out they can't be your customer anymore. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with that. And it's a very interesting topic to me. Not just a topic, but just a really interesting perspective, that whether it was me interacting or responding or really reacting to my kid, flipping through history in the past and interactions where, you know, maybe I was more upset than I should have been, whatever that means, but was it really just that? What else was there? That's rough to think about, but it's important to think about, work through the, you know, understanding and then being able to apply that to day to day, or when, if that day comes again, where having to deal with somebody that's very, very upset. And usually in our cases, in our world, and anyone in a service provider role, really, it's fear of being taken advantage of, fear of having the wool pulled over their eyes or lied to, you know, screwed over. Hope you got a kick out of this. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you have ideas or questions or want to be on the podcast, please don't hesitate to shoot me an email at mattfonzelpodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find me on social media. Shoot me a message. Also, you know, just ask Justin Morgan. He'll track me down. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network for making this all possible. Thank you to our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.